Lecture topic: Mujahada.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِيْنَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. So Allah Ta'ala's very great favor, bounty and blessing upon us. Allah Ta'ala gathered us to say something, to listen to something of deen, of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. These sometimes seem to be just one of those things that happen from time to time. Wherever any deeni gathering of this nature takes place, any deeni gathering that is the effort to try and get closer to Allah Ta'ala, to connect to Allah Ta'ala, gathering of learning and teaching deen. So these are taken sometimes to be, happens, carries on, and especially when it is a bounty that we are blessed with repeatedly, compared to in many places where once in a while, once in maybe a year sometimes, that particular locality or that place might have the opportunity of having some kind of dini gathering, dini majlis. So where it happens repeatedly, we sometimes take it for granted. Whereas this is not a minor thing, it's a very great blessing of Allah Ta'ala. What is the value of these dini gatherings? So in one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that any gathering where Allah is remembered, Allah Ta'ala is spoken about, so the angels surround the gathering. And then when the gathering is completed, the angels go up to the heavens and they report back about the gathering. So Allah Ta'ala asked that these people gathered, what they were doing. See, they were remembering you. What they were aspiring for. They were aspiring for Jannat. They were asking for refuge from anything. They were asking for refuge from Jahannam. Many details in it. This is the crux of the Hadith Sharif. So Allah Ta'ala says, I make you witness that I have granted them what they were aspiring for. And I've given them refuge from what they were seeking refuge. So one angel says, but there was a certain person who just was sitting at the back of the gathering. He just came. He didn't really come to try and benefit from the gathering. He didn't come with the intention of really participating in the purpose of that gathering. In our terminology, what we'll say is, just for our understanding, he came more like a spectator. Just came to spectate what's going on. So in the Hadith Sharif it is mentioned that Allah Ta'ala replies, Humul Julasa La Yashqa Jalisuhum. That this is such a gathering that anyone who's part of it is never deprived. Anyone who's part of a gathering of deen, gathering where Allah Ta'ala is remembered, gathering where Allah's greatness is spoken about, where the discussion is about how to connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala, and all this is purely muzakara. It's purely just a reminder, just refreshing the same lesson that we have heard over and over again and which we will need to keep listening to over and over again. We had breakfast this morning, but we had breakfast yesterday also. And lunch today, this afternoon we had yesterday as well. And not only yesterday, all the days beyond that, prior to that, Ramadan finished off, we never stopped eating. Maybe Allah gave us tawfiq, some days we kept fast in between. But other than that, we kept, every day we had lunch. So if today, if we had come home or wherever and say, well, is the lunch ready? And if the answer was, but you ate yesterday also, and you even ate the day before also. And later on, the whole week you've been eating lunch. So will that answer ever be good enough for anyone? That, well, if I ate lunch yesterday, and even the day before, and even days before that too, so then why must I ask for lunch today? See, no, I need lunch today as well. I need this, barely now, maybe our eyes are looking at the watch, that now the stomach is also talking a different language. When will the time of supper come? But we had supper yesterday too, we had supper the day before, but the body needs that nourishment. The body needs that food all the time. Every day it will require that food. So just as the body needs this nourishment every day, the spiritual self also keeps, it requires this nourishment all the time. And the nourishment is the same nourishment, is the nourishment of the Quran and Sunnah. The nourishment of Deen, these are the sources. What Allah Ta'ala has given us in the Quran Sharif, what is in the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and whatever our Kabir have presented to us, they've presented nothing but the Quran and Sunnah. They've elaborated on it. They've expanded to make it easy for us to understand. They've helped us to grasp what is the message of the Quran Sharif, what is the message of the Ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But that is the nourishment. That is what we desperately require daily. So these gatherings are not ordinary gatherings. These gatherings are very great. These gatherings referring to any gathering of deen of this nature, of the details that we already just mentioned just now. So any opportunity to nourish our soul, and that is by every good deed, we should never treat it as insignificant. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't ever regard any good deed as trivial. Don't regard it as insignificant. You have no idea which good deed might become the means of one's salvation, one's najat on the day of Qiyamah. It might be that talim after Isha in our masjid, after Maghrib, whenever it's taking place. And it might seem like there's one of those things happen, some people sit and carry on. But that could become the turning point in somebody's life. It might be that some small, what we regard as very small, some trivial, small little act of kindness to somebody. But that outwardly very small, insignificant act of kindness, lifted in the court of Allah Ta'ala, that might become the turning point for a person. That might take him, become a means of his najat. And these are things established in the Hadith Sharif. We are aware of the incident about that lady of ill repute. But she gave a thirsty dog water to drink. So that thirsty dog, that dog is an animal that we don't even go near. A guard dog is in its place. But deen doesn't even permit a person to have a dog as a pet. Not permissible. A guard dog, a hunting dog, Shariat is given permission for that. But as a pet, this is such an animal, a cat you can keep it as a pet. But a dog you can't even keep as a pet. That kind of animal, she gave it some water to drink because it was desperately thirsty. Allah Ta'ala gave her Jannat on that. That this became the means of her life turning around. This became the means of Tawbah. And this became the means of her salvation. So now don't regard any good deed as trivial. As, by the way, Imam Abu Zur'a Razi Rahimahullah, very great muhaddith, personality of very high caliber. People like Imam Bukhari Rahimahullah, Imam Muslim Rahimahullah, they would all quote him as a reference. They regarded him as an ustad. Personality of that caliber. When he passed away, somebody saw him in a dream. They asked him that, what happened? He said, Allah Ta'ala's fazal, Allah Ta'ala forgave me. Allah Ta'ala granted me Jannah. He said, must have been on account of those hundreds of thousands of ahadith that you wrote. Hundreds of thousands of ahadith. So he replied, Allah Ta'ala forgave me on some small, outwardly insignificant act. What was that outwardly insignificant act? So one day while I was writing Hadith Sharif, so I dipped that reed pen in the ink pot. It was the old, that period of time that the reed pen and you dip it in the ink pot, and then you write, and then it'll dry up, and you dip it again. So I dipped it in the ink pot, and then I just removed it, and at that moment, on that drop of ink that was now at the edge of that reed pen, one fly came and sat on it. He says, I then just held that pen in the mud, in air, thinking, well, this fly is drinking something out of this ink. How much is going to drink? But it's Allah Ta'ala's creation after all. Seems like it's thirsty. So I waited for a short while, might have been a few seconds or whatever, and then it flew off, and then it continued to write. So I was told that that act of yours was accepted. And on account of that, today you are being given this forgiveness. And there's the mention in the Hadith Sharif of that woman who was very pious, used to be very, very active in terms of her amal, but she had a cat, and it was her cat, so now she was responsible for it. So she tied the cat, or she confined it, and she neglected it. So now she didn't even leave it loose, leave it open to go and find its food, to go and find whatever it can to eat. It was confined, so it would go nowhere, and she neglected it. She didn't feed it either. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, she ended up in Jahannam due to this. All her tahajjud and all her tilawat and everything else got left on one side. She got taken to task for this act of cruelty. So both things are very crucial. Neither do we take any good action as trivial. Any good deed, any act of kindness, to the extent that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, even if you meet your brother with a smiling face, with ikhlas, for Allah's pleasure, don't treat that as insignificant also. That too is very significant. And don't treat any wrong action as trivial either. That can become the tripping point. Allah forbid, from way to way it can throw somebody back. So these gatherings, this is just a muzakara, this is just a reminder for ourselves. And the entire purpose of this, the niyat, what should be the niyat? Niyat must be amal. MashaAllah, we heard so many advices already, beautiful pieces of advice that were given to us, our mashayikh, our ulama ikram, elders, seniors. So now it's not something to have heard and then put it aside, something to have had the niyat already, and even if it wasn't already there, to make the niyat now. Our purpose was amal. That what we hear, what we will learn, to make amal upon it. Many a times, the intention may not be a very conscious intention, that this is the purpose, this is the reason why I'm attending a certain gathering. But somewhere deep down, the intention is to enjoy the talk. This will be a very enjoyable gathering. So then that niyat is now gone off the track. That niyat is not, this is not, and any gathering of this nature is not for enjoyment. Hazrat Maulana Saleem Dorat Sahab, down Barakatuhum, the UK, he says that, he gives an example first, that this is our nature. Unfortunately, this is how we are. That if a person is seated on the dastarkhan, and there's several varieties of things, you'll find some things are very healthy, meaning it's made with ingredients, etc., that are very beneficial for health. But now often, not necessarily, often these things that are very healthy are not melting in on the taste buds. And then you get some things which are not so healthy. In fact, they are sometimes unhealthy, but very tasty. Unhealthy, but very tasty. He says, generally, we'll find ourselves reaching out for the tasty things, even if we know it's unhealthy. That this is loaded with all the sugars and whatever else, and person is diabetic too. Despite that, his hand will reach out for the things that are unhealthy, just because it tastes very good. Unfortunately, that same aspect has crept into our dini activities when we choosing to hear something about deen, and nowadays everything is at the fingertips, we're listening to something or the other. So it's now the choice is what is tasty rather than what is healthy. Spiritually, healthy is what we're supposed to be going for. But we're looking for what is tasting good to the ears, what sounds nice. But is it in reality good? Is it coming from a source that what will inshallah take us closer to Allah Ta'ala? Is this a means that we will get inspired towards taqwa, towards the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is this coming from a source that will inshallah become a means of us wanting to give up sin? Is this coming from somebody who is connected to Allah Ta'ala as far as we can see? But that doesn't become the basis on which we make choices. We are reaching out for that which is tasty, tasting good to the ears. But what is healthy for the heart, for the spiritual heart, if that's not so exciting, then that choice won't come. That will be put aside. Which is, then defeats the whole purpose. So the purpose of the dini gatherings is to connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. It is to connect our hearts to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to fill our hearts with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So now the purpose of all these discussions is simply that how we can get connected to Allah Ta'ala. Who are the people who are connected to Allah Ta'ala? The people who are connected to Allah Ta'ala are the muttaqeen. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. The Quran Sharif Allah Ta'ala has spelt it out. The friends of Allah Ta'ala, a friend is connected, enemy not connected. You don't describe an enemy as a person who's close to you. You describe a friend. Friend is close to you, connected to a friend. Allah Ta'ala is declaring who are connected to him, who are his friends. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. Allah's friends are only the muttaqeen. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. Lahum al-bushra fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. In one ayat Allah says they are only the muttaqeen, or Allah's friends. And in another place Allah Ta'ala says alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqoon, that those who have iman and they have taqwa. So there's two levels. One level is the baseline of the friendship with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The minimum level of friendship. On a very low ebb, but it's there. Alhamdulillah. Every mu'min is a friend of Allah Ta'ala. Every mu'min, every person has iman, that iman is his connection with Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala wants us to have that very close friendship. So Allah says, in awliya'uhu, illa al-muttaqun. The very close friends of Allah Ta'ala, only the muttaqeen. Now how is this taqwa going to be acquired? Where does it come from? لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَعْدِنٌ وَمَعْدِنُ التَّقْوَى قُلُوبُ الْعَارِفِينَ. That everything, there's a mine from which it is mined. Gold, gold mine. Silver, not in the gold mine, in the silver mine. And anything else got its own mine. The mine of taqwa are the hearts of the arifin, the hearts of the true servants of Allah Ta'ala. Person is in that company, that is what then helps to mine from that heart. The companionship, the association. So now this association is what it's all about. You've been hearing about this advice, that association, the suhbat of the pious, the association with the pious, with the righteous. We want to get to Allah Ta'ala, we need to check what is our association all about. How much are we making an effort to associate with the people who are connected to Allah Ta'ala? That is the key. And a person has this key, then the doors will open out for him. This is the key. To the extent that Hazrat Mashaf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh used to say that if a person is far away somewhere, he doesn't have access, then even the writings of the Ahlullah will be on a lower level, but nevertheless, this will be a substitute for the direct company of the Ahlullah. So this should become part of our life, part of our daily tartib, that we're reading some something, some kitabs of the Ahlullah, listening to some talks of theirs, not for the sake of just giving some entertainment to the ears, but for the sake of putting that noor in the heart, to enliven the heart. That is the rain on the land of the heart. The heart, just as the land on the ground, the land out there, if there's no rain, it'll dry up. And after it dries up, then that vegetation that was there also dries up. If there's a tree standing there, the tree dries up. All the leaves fall off, then the tree dries up, the tree is gone too. What comes in its place? And after a short while, you'll see some thorny bushes coming out. In the dry ground, some very thorny, some weeds will come out. Harmful things will come out. So likewise, when this heart, when the land of this heart is deprived of its rain, what is the rain? The rain is the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. The rain is the company of the pious. The rain is the gatherings of deen. All this rains on the heart. And when this rains on the heart comes alive. Now that heart has been watered, now the good vegetation of righteous a'mal come through. Otherwise, then the thorny shrubs come out, the weeds come out. They come out in the form of jealousy, come out in the form of pride and arrogance, come out in the form of now all kinds of evil fantasizing, comes out in the form of transgressing the laws of Allah Ta'ala, harming people around us, in the form of vulgarity on our tongues, in the form of all these things. But when the heart has been watered with the rain of zikr, with the rain of the company of the pious, and especially with the rain of mujahada, that is actually the essential aspect. And the company of the pious and zikr, these are the two very essential aspects that aid it. This is what fertilizes it. But the rain is the mujahada. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Shakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, just to give one example about the Hakims from tamarind. So tamarind, it grows on trees, and then it grows in big numbers and it falls as it dries up. So now it's all over the ground. So now the Hakims, they come and they pick up this tamarind. It's fallen on the ground. They pick it up, take it away, wash it. After washing it, cleaning it, then they put it into a boiling, in a pot of boiling water, and it boils and over a good amount of time. After it boils for Allah knows best how long in that very high temperature water, then it's taken out of there, and then it is pulped, crushed completely. And after it is pulped and crushed in that manner, then with whatever other some ingredient, and it becomes a paste of some sort, well, maybe it's Allah knows best, it's still somewhere, some Hakim is making it somewhere, we can find out if you want. But at that time, it was only the kings and people of that financial standing who could afford it. It was probably a very big long process and some other ingredients and so on. But whatever the process was, and the main ingredient was this tamarind, it used to become such a potent kind of medication that a person with all kinds of ailments and weakness and whatever else, they would take care of it. So now it was a very valuable mixture thereafter. So now this used to make its way and find its place on the Dastar Khan of kings. It's to find its place in palaces. It's to find its place in among people of great prominence and so on. Now, this is now just as an example that others give. So those were the pieces of tamarind that they said, okay, look, I'm ready for this mujahada. I'm ready to be boiled and to be crushed and to be pulped and all these things. I'm ready for it. So they went through the mujahada. And they went through that crushing and grinding. And now after that crushing and grinding, after tolerating all that and accepting it wholeheartedly, now the time came when this became a very valuable outcome out of it. and it found its place on the Dastarkhan of kings. But then there's some other pieces of tamarind, they get left there. So now, it's so to say that they said to the Hakim, look, leave me alone, I'm not ready for all this. All this crushing and grinding and boiling and all that, not for me. Just for somebody else. So it gets left there. So now later on, who comes around? Some others come, so they pick it up. What they make out of it, in a very quick, easy process, probably hardly any crushing and grinding, whatever, but with some other few mixtures, what they make out of it, they make a laxative. So now this tamarind said, I'm not prepared for that mujahada. I just want the easy life. I just want to take it easy. He said, well, okay, take it easy. That found its place on the Dastarkhan of kings. And this finished off in the sewer line. Now what was the lesson in it? The lesson is that mujahada is what made the difference. And this is the lesson that the Quran Sharif has given us. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who make mujahada in trying to get close to us. Those who make mujahada, who strive, who struggle against the nafs, against shaitan. They don't succumb to those temptations. A temptation is part of insan's life. Nafs and shaitan keep tempting, keep trying to whisper things into his mind and heart, keep trying to take him towards evil. Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu. That's the nature of nafs. But the person who keeps grinding, keeps crushing, and then he's sometimes feeling within himself, he's boiling because of this ongoing mujahada. But when he keeps making that mujahada, then the outcome will be very valuable. The outcome will be extremely valuable. But he wants a shortcut all the time. Oh, we are going to now resist all this. Now let's carry on, we'll see next time. Whatever temptation came now to see something haram, carrying on. To indulge in some haram communication and carries on. Go to some haram place, carries on. Now who's going to make all this mujahada? This is all too much for me. I can't keep grinding and crushing. Allah forbid, Allah save us, where we'll fall with that. So the essential thing is mujahada. This is a gathering that we have come to remind ourselves that what is our purpose, where we headed to, about Islah, about Tazkiyah. So all this comes down to the essential aspect of mujahada. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. That mujahada in all the different facets of life. Generally, when we speak about mujahada, then we think about mujahada, well, if we have some consciousness of deen, some understanding with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, then too, very often, we confine it to mujahada in certain matters. Mujahada, wake up at the time of fajr, don't remain sleeping, alhamdulillah. Mujahada, don't remain in your job, business, whatever, at the time of zuhr, make sure you're in the masjid, alhamdulillah. Likewise, all other salah. Excellent, that's a very essential mujahada. Mujahada, stay away from stealing, from lying. Somebody got more consciousness of deen from backbiting, alhamdulillah. These few major sins, alhamdulillah. But mujahada also in controlling the tongue from other kind of evil talk, from breaking somebody's heart. As we heard, the importance of looking after the hearts of others. Meaning unduly not causing any takleef to anybody with our words, with our actions. So that mujahada of reigning in the tongue. And this is one essential mujahada in the path of Islah and Tazkiyah. The four mujahadas that the Akabir used to teach, taqleel ta'am, and then taqleel manam, and taqleel kalam, and taqleel ikhtilat ma'al anam. These four mujahadas. Now, the first used to be that taqleel ta'am, eating less. Oh, Mashayikh said, don't try it. It's not for us. Eat what is necessary. How much is required? Don't eat more than that. Don't overeat. But eating less, we can't manage this. This is out of our capacity. So taqleel al-ta'am, they made taqleel of this already for us. They said, you eat as per your need, but don't eat as per greed. That will become very harmful and detrimental. And then taqleel al-manam, said, this too also, don't get into this. Meaning in the manner that people previously did it, don't try to emulate them. They would sleep 3 hours and 4 hours, and you sleep minimum 6 hours. The general need is 6 to 8 hours. General need. Most people would not need more than 6 to 7 hours. Somebody a little bit more, up to 8 hours. And if it's more than that, somebody says, but my need is 12 hours, then you also need ilaj also. Also need treatment. Because now that's not a need anymore, that's a sickness itself. That requires treatment. So, 6 to 8 hours, that's the average, that's the need generally. You fulfill that need, short on that. Because you cut short on that 1 day, 10 days, 20 days, and then fall flat after that. So fulfill that as per the need. And then the other two things, taqleel al-kalam, talking less. So now talking less, subhanallah, how does a person do this? Talking less, possible? Now this is where we slip. And this they say you must do. Here they didn't say don't worry about it. Here they said worry even more about it. Taqleel al-kalam. Obviously this doesn't mean that a person now will stay completely mute. No, that's not the way that... The purpose is to connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala, but if we are non-stop talking about dunya all the time, and futile things, now some lightheartedness is even required. Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi used to instruct people, ke rozana kuch doston ke saath thora sa hasna bolna rakho. Have some lighthearted time with your friends, pious friends, you say nek dosto, with some pious friends, have some time for some lightheartedness. We need this to just keep our hearts and minds fresh. But that is salt in the food. In one small pot of salt, you go to throw one cup of salt. Then that food also will be spat out. Proportionate. That much of food, that much of salt. So salt is required. As you say now, have that little time of lightheartedness also to keep the mind, heart a little bit fresh, to lighten the heart so that a person can do what he's supposed to do thereafter. Not that that becomes his occupation. That all the time he wants to entertain himself with something. That's not his occupation. His occupation is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. His occupation is serving the cause of deen. His occupation is to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. That is the salt in the food. So in any case, taqleel al-kalam. Say, cut down on unnecessary talk, too much over limit, getting non-stop, always having something to talk about. No, there should be time for being in communication with Allah Ta'ala. Time for muraqabah and meditation. Time for zikr in solitude. وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَادَتْ عَيْنَاهِ. In the Hadith Sharif, where the 7 categories of people will be given the shade of the arsh on the day of Qiyamah. And one of the 7 categories, person who remembers Allah Ta'ala in solitude and in that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, in the fear of Allah Ta'ala, his eyes shed tears. The tears flow out of his eyes. Allah loves this so much that he will be granted the shade of the arsh on the day of Qiyamah. We need time for that. We need time in solitude to remember Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to make muraqabah, to meditate, to ponder over our condition. What's my position? What's my situation? Unfortunately, our time is all in screen time. As a result of screen time, there's no muraqabah time, there's no zikr time, there's no Quran Sharif time, there's no Durood Sharif time. There's time, then there's only time, screen time. And like Muhammad Daud Sahib mentioned earlier, that our time is so engrossed in news of the issues that are happening around, the wars, etc. We don't even have time to make dua for the people in difficulty. We're so occupied in the news about what's happening, we don't even have time to make dua for them, 5 minutes to take out of our time and make dua for them. But we spend 1 hour, 2 hours on the news about it. How did that engrossment in the news about what happened there help them? Our engrossment in the news didn't help them in one bit. But that 5 minutes of dua is a great help to them. That 5 minutes before the dua in some amal, some zikr, some tilawat of the Quran Sharif, to enhance that dua, recited ayat kareema, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen, 100 times, more than that, some durood sharif, and then made dua, spend 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes in this manner, that is a very great help to them. But our this engrossment in the news helped them not even one iota. So now, unfortunately, because of our preoccupation with all these things, our time is gone in it. And as a result, our time is gone in all the discussions about it. So that taqleel at kalam, that became an unknown entity. Yes, we'll end up discussing some of it here and there, a little bit. Maybe it'll help to conscientize us about something. But that is again in proportion. Then the time has to be engaged in what is going to really help them. But our entire time is gone in the discussions, in the engrossment in the news, and Allah forbid, then worse than that, then is gone into haram. So the mujahada is the essential thing. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. So the mujahada is not confined to these half a dozen things. The mujahada, even in making sure we don't cross the line in terms of our muamalat, in terms of muasharat, our social life, how we conduct ourselves in our homes, how we conduct ourselves with our families, and all the other various aspects. These are the things that now, this is the consciousness that we have to develop. This is the mujahada that we have to make in all these facets, all these aspects. The month of Muharram has just started, the Hijrah calendar has come in. So what is it teaching us? What is it reminding us about? Reminding us about Hijrat. So the Muhajireen that made Hijrat from Makkah Mukarrama to Madina Munawwara and joined Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Hijrat that was farz at that time, that Hijrat was over with the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama. La Hijrat ba'd al-Fath. But Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept the door of Hijrat open for the Ummat. That the door of Hijrat, Al-Muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu anhu. Who's the true muhajir? Even that person who made physical hijrat, that physical hijrat also is not going to be acceptable without the hijrat of the inner side. The inner hijrat. The hijrat of leaving out that which Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. That is the foundation on which everything else will be accepted. The hijrat of leaving sin. The hijrat of leaving ghibat. Hijrat means, hajara means to leave out. So now those who made hijrat, mashallah, that was farz in that time. So Allah Ta'ala gave them that tremendously great maqam and position due to that hijrat. The muhajireen and the person who makes hijrat, al-hijratu tahdimu ma kana qablaha. That hijrat wiped out anything, any mistake anybody made before that, everything cleaned out. That was the reward of that hijrat. But the door of hijrat, that reward is open for us. How? That we must become true muhajir. At the time of Fajr, make hijrat from sleep. Leave out the sleep now. And be in the house of Allah Ta'ala. When we are being tempted towards haram, then leave out that haram. Leave out that haram glance. Leave out the vulgarity. Make hijrat from that. Become a muhajir from all the wrongs in whichever aspect of life. Hijrat from the transgressing of the rights of people. Make hijrat from that. Leave it out. Hijrat from all the things that we sometimes cut corners in terms of muamalat and dealings. In muasharat, become muhajir in the true sense of the word. This is the true muhajir. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, al-muhajir, alif lam. Those who understand that what that alif lam denotes, it means the real muhajir, the true muhajir. The muhajir in the true sense of the word is who? Man hajara ma nahallahu anhu. The one who forsakes what Allah has forbidden. Then he is a true muhajir. We have that opportunity. Allah has left it open for us to become the true muhajirin. So this is the purpose of these gatherings, that we become conscientized again. It becomes a means of myself, all of us, to remind ourselves that this Islah and Tazkiyah is not just some talk shop. Islah and Tazkiyah is about amal. Islah and Tazkiyah is about an effort. It is about an effort to cleanse the heart. Tazkiyatul Qulub. It's all about cleansing the heart. Cleansing the heart out about all, about what? The heart is king. If the heart has been cleansed out of all the evils, then the rest of the body will now follow suit. It will comply because the heart is king. So cleansing the heart out of all the evils and the vices, all the things that take us away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that distance us away from Allah ta'ala, the pride, the arrogance, the malice, all the haram, things that lurk within us, to inculcate all the sifat-e hamida, bring tawazu, the reality of tawazu within us, bring the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, bring the muhabbat of Allah and make it dominant in our hearts. Then this tazkiyah is what's going to be achieved. So this doesn't happen by just listening to some talks. The purpose of the talk is to bring us onto amal. To bring the speaker, the listener, onto amal. That's the purpose, that's the intention we should have. That now, we might not even remember everything that we heard, but the essence of it is, I have to come on amal. I have to come on amal in terms of the zahir, external actions, and amal in terms of the batin, in terms of the inner self, the heart. I have to cleanse the heart, I have to rectify the heart, adorn the heart with all the right things, become connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The main part of the effort is mujahada. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We will have to make the mujahada. There is no escape from that. And Allah forbid, if that mujahada is going to be escaped, then it doesn't stay at one point. When a person doesn't make the mujahada, then he's going to slide. He's going to fall backwards. It's not a matter of not making a mujahada and nothing will happen. Because if there's no mujahada, it will result in a decline. And as it declines further and further, Allah forbid, way it'll fall. Allah Ta'ala's grace, Allah's mercy, Allah's kindness, Allah Ta'ala grants us a lot of respite. But now something is rolling from a height, coming. Eventually it falls somewhere, it makes a big splash. Then when it makes a big splash, now there's a small explosion sometimes, whatever. Then it's sometimes too late, the damage is too far. And in any case, moth is right behind us all the time. We don't know when that moment comes, then there's no U-turn. The time is now, the time is to turn to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, give me the tawfiq, grant us all the tawfiq of making sincere tawbah. This tawbah, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, is awwalu aqdamil murideen. The first step, now we all understand some terminologies of tasawwuf, of islah, tazkiyah, and about becoming a murid. So somebody now, mashallah, become murid of any sheikh of the ulama mashayikh haqqa. So now we feel our job is done. We feel now we already took bay'at somewhere. So I'm already accomplished now. Everything is done. I need to do nothing more. The first step of the murid now, that he only became murid, his first step is tawbah. Meaning he wants to make tazkiyah, he wants to make islah, he wants to get his tazkiyah done. If tawbah hasn't happened, you're going to get nowhere. The first step of that path of tazkiyah is tawbah. So sincere tawbah with remorse and regret. Yeah, insan, we've made mistakes, whatever. Allah's doors of tawbah are open, but the time is now. Allah loves the one who comes back to Him. So this is a chance to come back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, make sincere tawbah and repent, and this will become the means of us gaining closeness to Allah ta'ala and progressing in our Islah and Tazkiyah. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.